And Pastor Harley didn't have as much time to get ready this week, so I'm not going to be as long-winded. Hey, isn't that great? Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Lamentations. And the reason why I can be so short today is because God has just spoken my word again. For the second time today, my message has been preached. Exact words, almost. John ended his words about the man. What was the last sentence you said? And that the prodigals would come home. My message today is holding fast. But today I want to look at how God is holding fast to you. See, I'm excited that I get to hold fast to God. But here's the truth. God is holding fast to me. God is holding fast to you. We read in Lamentations here, and we don't get a lot of messages necessarily out of the book of Lamentations, but this one comes out quite frequently because as he's lamenting, he says, "But then I call this to mind," in verse 21, "and therefore, because of the things that I'm getting ready to talk about, I have hope." Everyone say, "I have hope."
I have hope.
Man, I'm so glad that we have hope today. And here's why I have hope. The steadfast love. Everyone say, "The steadfast love."
Steadfast love.
Of the Lord never ceases.
See,
he's holding fast with his love to us, church. He is holding fast, and he's not going to let go. He has made a choice. Everyone say, he's made a choice. See, I made a choice 31 years ago that I love my wife. I said I do at the altar, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And because of that, I made a commitment in my heart. And that love, that commitment is keeping my love strong. You get a chance to talk about it last week. I was coming back from Tyler, and I shared with you, I don't know, a couple months ago, a year ago, whatever. I said, I was told, listen, the man of God, Brother Randall, he said, listen, every time you go to Tyler, do not come back without something for your wife. So those words, I mean, they just went in my heart, and I've never forgot them. So I had to go to Tyler to buy supplies for the church. And as I'm coming back, I'm like, okay, I need to try to find something to bring my wife. And right now there's not any shops, little things on the side of the road where you can buy flowers. But I noticed when I was driving through Lindale, there's some gorgeous, gorgeous flowers there in the Seasons Place, whatever. So I walk in there, and I said, hey, how you doing, young man? About 20-year-old young man. He said, I need something beautiful for my wife today. And he looked at me. He goes, really? He says, what's the occasion? And I said, because. And he had the look on his face of confusion. Because. I said, yeah, because I love her. And when I said that, this young man's countenance changed. And all of a sudden, there was something that came over him. I believe it was the Spirit of God that I feel for my love for my wife. Because I love her. It's the only reason why. Is there any other reason that I need? Is there any other reason today why we worship the Lord and why we were lifting hands and why we were giving him praise? Just because? Now, here's the truth, and you and I both know this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? He took the initiative. He took the initiative and loved me while I still wasn't lovable. That's the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Hallelujah. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Man, this is where our hope is today, church. That we have a God that has a steadfast love. He is holding fast to us. And there's nothing we can do to increase it or decrease it. Amen? There's nothing I can do to decrease it or increase it. He just loves us. And so, how many of you know this is the unchanging love of God, is the unchanging character of God? I want you to realize this. The love of God is part of the immutable, his countenance, every part of God He's unchanging. From the very beginning, while the earth was still void and was in darkness and had no light, guess what? His love was there. His love was there. And then he begins to display his love. And I know you haven't thought about this lately unless you've been in one of my science classes. But then he says, and let there be light. Now, before he said let there be light, he had to make a small adjustment to the earth. You see, because the earth, I believe, and I don't have any scripture to back this up, but I believe when the earth was void and in darkness, that here the earth stood just like this, straight up and down. Well, here's the problem. If he would have said, let there be light, without doing something with the earth straight up and down, we would have been in trouble. But our God loved us so much that he began and he spoke the word and he tilted the earth. How much did he tilt the earth? What's the angle of the earth's axis? The earth is at a 23.45 degree. 23.5 degrees. Our earth is at a tilt. You know why? Because he loved us so much that he wanted us to see that we were going to have seasons. See, if he would have tilted the earth 23 degrees, it'd be colder for all of us. If he tilted it more, it'd be hotter and much colder. But no, the Lord knew exactly that we needed 23.45 degrees of the tilt of the earth's axis so that when the northern hemisphere, that's us, is pointing towards the sun, we're going to have summer. But then in the winter, when we're away, the northern hemisphere is away from the sun, we get to have fall and winter. We get to have seasons because God loved us that much. Think about that. He loved us so much that he said, you know what, I'm going to create a place so that you will have seasons and it won't always be hot, it won't always be cold. You're going to have some in-between degrees there that you're going to be able to enjoy and you're going to be able to love. That's the type of God that we serve this morning, amen? That's the type of God that loves us that much. He is an unchanging God in a constantly changing universe. And his desire for us is to be steadfast also. How do I know this? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. His desire for us is to be steadfast. Amen? His desire for us is to be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. I like that word, abounding. That means abundance, because we serve the God of abundance. And he wants us to be living in his abundance. As we come into this season where we're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, and again, I want to encourage you, if you have not had the chance to go see the movie Risen, make that one of your things to do over this next couple of weeks, to go see this movie Risen and get encouraged about seeing the resurrection from an unbeliever's standpoint of viewpoint. But how many of you know there were some disciples who loved the Lord very much? These disciples gathered around Jesus. He called them, these 12 disciples, he brought them in to his world. And he said, okay, guys, I know some of you have been fishermen, but now you're going to be fisher of men. I know you were a doctor, Luke. I know this and this and this about all of you. But now I want you to follow me. Then in our youth group Wednesday night, we read the story in Mark chapter 14 where Jesus says, now listen, I got some bad news for you. It's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. And some of you are going to, for a moment, you're going to fall away. And every one of them said, whoa, 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 stop the horses, Jesus. What do you mean? We're going to have problems and we're going to fall away. Lord, and Peter starts it off. You know Peter, he's always going to open his mouth up and start speaking. Lord, you know I'm the rock. You told me that. I will never leave you. I will never fall away from you, Lord. And the Bible's very specific. And all the other disciples said the same. God, Jesus, we will follow you even if it's unto death. But the truth is, there were some hardships that were going to come in their lives. And every disciple, to a name, but one fell. Every disciple, to a name, but one, John. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, he looks around and he looks down to see his mom and to see his friends, his family, to see all the disciples. And there's not one to be found. They all fell away. Notice the words that Jesus is going to speak to Peter. And here's where I'm going this morning. And here's where every one of those disciples went to. After you've fallen, after you've blown it, come home. Amen. Can I say that again? After you've made your mistake, after you blew it, and we all blow it, come home. Don't push yourself away from the presence of God. Get up and come home. When you fall, and everyone takes that fall, after you fall, you get up and you come home. Now notice these words that Jesus is going to speak to Peter. In Luke 22, we're going to start in verse 31. You can turn there or you can just look up on the screen. And the Lord said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked to have you that he may sift you as wheat." This jumped all over me this week as I saw this again. These are the exact same words that God spoke in the book of Job. And Satan came to the Lord and said, "God, see that man Job down there, pretty prosperous. You've got your hand on him, pretty blessed. Why don't you take your hand off of Job for a moment and let's see what happens?" Apparently, this conversation is repeated again. The Lord has asked, "Simon, Simon, he has asked to have you." And the implication there we read in Scripture is to totally take your hands off of him and let me have total dealing in his life. Wow. Because Simon's going to go through a test. He's going to go through a trial. And guess what? He's going to fall. Everyone say he's going to fall. But he's not going to fail. He's going to fall, but he's not going to fail. And that is the word to us today. God says, "I have loved you, and I'm not letting go of you. It is my steadfast love. But when you fall, don't worry. You're not going to fail." The next verse, verse 32. "But notice this, Peter. I have pleaded for you in prayer that your faith should not fail. And after you have repented and come home, strengthen your brethren." See, here's the word. And again, the Holy Spirit has been speaking this word to us. There's someone today who has found themselves fallen, and you need to get up and come home. That's the word of the Lord. Way before I got up here and it started, they didn't know this was my message. But the Holy Spirit sure did. And the Holy Spirit knew that there was some heart dealing that needed to take place with some folks who have allowed their relationship to the Lord to grow a little cold. And you've fallen. But the good news is, get up. Get up and come home. Pastor Sam tells the story. One of my favorite, I have many favorite stories of his, but Pastor Sam Walker, who has been a longtime friend of mine, and when he was in youth ministry, and we used to have youth conference, one night he got up and he preached a message, and at the end of his message, he told this story. Pastor Sam went to, I think, DeSoto High School, and there he was on the track team. And on the track team, he was, now if you've ever seen Pastor Sam walk, he kind of walks bow-legged, right? So So he's not the, he doesn't look like this incredible athlete. He's just a, he's a great guy, but he's no athlete. And so as a result, Dakota, he was on the C, not the A team, not the B team. He was on the C team. He was on the C track team, all right? But how many of you know, even the C track team gets to go to track meet sometimes. And so they're at their first track meet, and the coach came up to Pastor Sam and said, Sam, I need you to run the 100-meter hurdles. I need you to run the 100-meter hurdles. And so the time comes, and him and all the other six guys in the lanes get down in their stance. On your marks, get set. Pow! And the gun goes off, and they start taking off. And of course, Sam's like, you know, he does dun, 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 dun. And he starts running. Well, as Pastor Sam and all the other six runners get to the first hurdle, he finds himself not getting over the hurdle, and he finds himself planted face first into that red dirt track. And he's laying there going, ow. And he's laying there going, this is embarrassing. What he did not realize is that all six of the other runners hit that first hurdle and went face first down also. There was a hush and a silence in the crowd. And then all of a sudden, a chant began to rise. Get up. Get up. Get up. And the whole crowd gets louder and louder. Get up. And finally, Sam says, okay. Looked over and saw that everyone else had fallen in the race, and they all got up and then hit the next hurdle, and half of them again fell again. But I'll never forget him telling that story. He said, listen, sometimes when you fall flat on your face, you just got to get up. You got to get up. Man, I appreciate this story. Again, my family has been under attack this last couple of weeks. It's just been incredible, the attack that we have been under. And I felt myself several times the last couple of weeks falling. What am I going to do? I'm a pastor. I'm falling. Got a bad attitude. Got things going on. Well, guess what I had to do? Get up. Come on, say it with me. Get up. I had to get up and come home. Come back to my first love. And again, I've preached this many times. Here's our memory verse for the week, guys. You guys, here's our double, triple points memory verse. Proverbs 24:26. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Woo! For a righteous man falls seven times and gets up again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. They will fail. See, here's the truth this morning, church. Many of us at times become like the prodigal son. And we know the story. The prodigal son goes to his dad. And he says, Dad, I want my inheritance. He takes his inheritance and he leaves. Amen? He goes, and the Bible says he wastes his money. But here's the truth. He was still the son. Just because we blow it, just because we fall, doesn't make us then not become a child. Everything that I was thinking about, everything my parents had to deal with, I have a propensity to lose things. I've lost my keys this week, Charlotte. This time I spent 3 hours, 4 hours looking for my keys. I opened the church Wednesday night for youth service at 6 o'clock. And when I went home and tried to get in my truck the next morning, they're gone. I've lost them. So I already have a propensity to lose things. But for me, it started when I, you know what it was like to try to keep a coat, a jacket in school? Eli. There's no way. If I took a jacket to school, that jacket was coming home. It was going to get lost. And then at one point, I was so bad that I put my trombone down. Parents bought me a trombone for beginner band. And I put that trombone down right by the curb and walked off and went off and left it and played. And I came back from my trombone. Oh, I left my trombone. I came back. Anyone seen my trombone? No. Gone. Gone. But you know what? Even though I did something as, I don't know whether it's dumb or stupid or both, but even though I did that, I was still their son. It didn't, they still love me. Now they had to go, we had to go buy another trombone for me. Thank goodness those days trombones were only $200. Only. That was a lot of money back then. But my point is, they still love me. And the prodigal son, as he went away, the father said, you know what? There goes my dumb son. He is going straight to the stupid zone. But you know what? He's my son, and he's a man, and I got to let him go. But dang, nothing's going to change the fact that he's, and so he lives that, he lives the life, and all of a sudden he loses his friends, he loses his job, and he founds himself in a pit rehearsing the speech to his dad. Dad, I am not worthy to be called one of your sons. But if you'll just let me be one of your servants, I'll be really happy. Because I just made a very immature, dumb decision. And the Bible says that this son, when he was way off, the father was up looking. What do we know about the father's heart? He's always hoping, son, come home. Amen. Son, get up out of the pit, get up out of the mud, and just come home. And the son said, I think I've gone a little too far this time. And how many people have said to themselves, I think I've gone a little bit too far this time. There's no way I can be forgiven. There's no way we can make things right. And then the father's saying, oh, no, no, no. Because my love never gives up. Never runs dry. Never runs out on you. See, that's the love we're talking about today. The steadfast love of the Lord for those who have fallen. And the Lord is saying, just get up and come home, and we'll work everything out. Now, he already lost his inheritance, amen? But the father's like, no, 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 get a ring. Get the signet ring, the family ring. Go ahead and put a coat on him. Go ahead and put sandals on him. Let's kill the fatted calf, and let's rejoice because he who was lost has come home. One more person we see in the Bible who fell flat on his face. King David. King David, the man after God's own heart, who had a desire to please God more than anything else. But the truth is, he was just a man. And at the time when kings go out to war, David stayed home. He looked on the roof, and there he saw Bathsheba. And he sinned in his heart, and he desired her, and he had Uriah killed. And they have a baby. And the prophet comes to King David and says, David, I'm sorry to tell you this, but this baby which you have conceived is going to die. This baby that you had in sin, in bad judgment, this baby is going to die. And so David goes in into prayer and fasting. For 7 days, Scripture says, that David didn't eat or drink, and he only prayed, Lord, forgive me and spare this son. 7 days later, he looks outside, and this whispering going on. And David comes to his servants, and he said, is the child dead? And they said, yes, David, the child is dead. It's the low point of the low point of the low point of his life. He fell hard. But I want you to see what he did. Let's look at the verse in Psalms. Before that, is there a verse? Is there a verse in 2 Samuel? Yes. Look what David did. And David rose from the ground. Everyone say, get up. Get up. And David got up from the ground. And he washed and he anointed himself. And he changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He went back to his first love, amen? And then he went where? home. He went to his own house. How good is this? I didn't make this up. I mean, the Lord's just so awesome. Confirming the word that he put in my heart. And then he went home to his own house. First thing he had to do was get up. He had been on his face down on the ground for 7 days. But now it's time to make a change. And he got up and he arose, washed. And again, notice, I love this, that they set food before him and he ate food with his family and he broke bread. Stand with me this morning. Worship team, you can come back up here again. Come home. I don't know that I didn't grow up in one of those churches that sang it every Sunday, but as I was preparing all week, I heard that. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Jesus is calling. Calling for sinners, come home, come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Sing to me, Jesus. Father, we thank you today for this steadfast love that never gives up, never runs out on us. God, each and every one of us today can look back in a time in our life where we fell. But God, I thank you that you were praying, just like you prayed for Peter and said, Peter, I'm praying for you, though, that when you fall, your faith will not fail. Peter, when you're done falling, get up. Get up and come home. Strengthen your brethren. Man, I don't know who this service is for today, but I know without a doubt there's been confirmation. God loves you very much. And I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to hearts today and say it's time for you to come home. You've been running. You know the truth in your heart, but you fell. You were embarrassed by it. And the Lord has already spoken through Dallas this morning. Don't be embarrassed that you fell. But now just get up and come home. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord, for our service that's been leading up to this time where there are those who have left their first love, and the Lord is saying, come home. With every head bowed, please. With every head bowed, please. God's been speaking so strongly. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else want to slip your hand up? Call to get up and come home. Anyone else want to join the hands that have already been raised? Thank you. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands this morning. There's a work that's going on this morning that's only the Holy Spirit can do. Oh, we thank you this morning for forgiveness in this place. We thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and that our past is our past. And God is not looking at our past today, but God is looking to our future. But we have to do our place. Father, I thank you for every hand that's been raised today. Father, they're getting up and they're coming home, and you are waiting for them. You are embracing them this morning with your unconditional love, with your unconditional mercy. And you are bringing forgiveness, and you are bringing a cleansing, and you are bringing a new hope. God, I thank you for every person today that raised their hands. Father, we celebrate that now. We say thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Come on, thank him this morning. Lord, we thank you today for the work of salvation. We thank you today that today is the day, Lord, of children of God. Lord, getting up, coming home. Lord, thank you for that, the unfailing love, the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. Because your love never fails, never gives up, and never runs out on me. Yeah, your love never fails, and never gives up, and never runs out on me. Yeah, your love never fails, and never gives up, and never runs out on me. Your love, your love, and on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I'll never ever have to be afraid. There's one thing. It never gives up, never runs out on me. Yes, your love never fails,
and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Yes, your love never fails,
and never gives up,
and never runs out on me. Your love, your love. And so David gets up, he comes home, makes things right between him and his God, and he sits down and he begins to write his heart. And that does bring us, and we'll close with this morning, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a... Wow. Hold fast. Lord, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. I will teach others who have gone through the same thing that I maybe went through when I fell. And sinners will be converted to you. Give God praise. That's your testimony. This is what God did for me when I fell. And he will do it for you also. Father, we pray now for those who need to hear this message. Lord, those who will hear it by CD, those who will hear it on the internet, Lord, those who will hear it by word of mouth, Father, we thank you for a spirit of forgiveness and cleansing today that's in this place. And now we take it with us through those doors to a lost and dying world. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise today. Come on, give praise one more time. Thank you, Lord.